All right, girls, thank you for that. We'll be in John chapter number 12 today. You know, there's a huge difference between a want and a need. A want is something that we desire, but it's really not necessary. A need is something we have to have. Defined by basic economics, a need is something we needed to survive, while a want is something people desire to have that they may or may not be able to obtain. I taught in our high school one time. I taught economics. Basically, that's what economics is taking our resources and deciding, choosing between our wants and our needs with our limited resources. The fact of the matter is, there's some things that we want we don't need. Okay, but there's a lot of things we have to have. In our text, Jesus is speaking of his coming death. He lets them know that he is going to be crucified. He's going to be lifted up on the cross. It seems like to his disciples that is the end of things, that he was arrested. And we know the story. They all fled, and even though they promised they wouldn't, but they all did leave because they were confused as to what was going on, even though Jesus had really, in fact, told them exactly that is why he came. That was his purpose in coming. We know that in the book of Luke. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I mean, it was a joy for Christ to come and die on the cross. Not that it would not be painful, but he saw the result of it. That was his purpose for coming. And he makes a promise to them that if he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Jesus is really a big deal. In our times, he is being marginalized. Our society is really not for him anymore. Our city council here, they haven't done it in years, and that's glad because we wouldn't do it. They like to open up their council meetings in prayer. And one year they asked us, and Pastor Esposito had Brother Winnie Pichardo go down there, your brother, troublemaker. And they were very specific. You can pray any type of prayer you want. You just can't pray in Jesus' name. Well, his brother, he went down there and prayed, and he finished his prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Okay? He wasn't about to be shut up. But that doesn't make sense. I can go down there and I can pray in the name of Allah. I can pray in the name of Buddha. I can pray in the name of myself. I can pray in the name of Mother Earth. But I can't pray in the name of Jesus. You see, our society is trying to marginalize Jesus Christ. And really, it's getting to the point where they're trying to marginalize anybody that believes in him. Because the issue isn't us. The issue is Jesus Christ. They don't think that they need him. In fact, they don't want to hear from him. But he's a big deal. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things of earth and thing under the earth. You know what this world needs? You know what we need? We need Jesus Christ. Amen. We need him as a church. In Ephesians and in Colossians, he makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is to be the head of the church. Colossians says that he is preeminent. He is everything. He is number one. But we need him also as Christians. Amen. But more than that, this world needs Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. They need him. They may not realize it. They may try to fill that need, that void in their life and in their heart with other things. But the fact of the matter is, there's nothing they could ever do. There's nothing they could ever attach themselves to which will fill that void. That void can only be fulfilled with a relationship that comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world needs him. But the only vehicle by which to get Jesus to this needy world is God's people. That is you, and that is I. That's the only way. That is how God has ordained that Jesus Christ, whom the world needs, gets to them. He gets to them. He has to be taken by Christians. So if the world needs Jesus Christ, how is that going to happen? How are they going to get him? Well, there's two different ways. The first way is, if we're going to take Jesus Christ to this world, we must know him. We must know him. In other words, we must be convinced in our minds, we must have a firm understanding of who he is and what his purpose is for this world and what he wants us to do. Without that, we will never attach ourselves to his purpose for this world. We must know him. We have to understand that Jesus is the one that brings salvation. Amen. There is no other name given. The name of Jesus is given for salvation. It's the only one. Some dates stick in your mind. We understand. In a world sense, we all remember, well, no, we don't remember, Jerry does, but we know the date, even though many of us were not alive, we remember the date of December 7th, 1941. Yes, we all remember 9/11. Yep. There are certain dates that stick in your mind. You have personal dates. For me, a personal date is June 1st, 1985. Amen. What happened? My world came to a crushing end. I'm sorry. It came to a glorious beginning. It's the day I got married. And you know what's weird? It's the day my wife got married too. Worked out real nice. And you can remember the dates of that your children, were born. Now, we have so many, I have to kind of put some of them on my phone, okay? And the grandkids and all the, but those dates are important to us. We hear those dates and it does something for us. But you know, there's a date that ought to ring supreme in every single one of our lives.
Right.
The day that you trusted Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You ought to know that day. Why? He's the source. He's the one through which salvation comes. We need to understand that. Do you understand that many people in our world, they don't have a knowledge of the fact that salvation comes from Jesus Christ? They don't have that knowledge. Many of them are trusting in some false god. You know, there was a soul winning. You were with me, right? We were over here by the old church, and we were soul winning, and so we didn't have a lot of time. I'm like, I'll knock on this floor of doors, you knock on that floor of doors, and I knocked on a door, and this lady was struggling. She was having a bad day, and she started raising her voice at me. She had some other issues, Ryan, but Ryan heard it and thought it came down there to protect me from this lady. So I'm down, and I'm trying to calm her down, and she was all over the map. She was saying some weird things. She finally said that God was some kind of female deity. I don't know how she got there. But she tried to make a point, and she said that, you know, the only difference between me and the fact that I'm a Christian and that I don't believe in some other false god is because I was born in America and I was not born in some other foreign country. Now, there is a bit of truth to that, not completely. But the truth is, it's harder in some countries. They don't have the light of the gospel. By the way, that's what missions is all about.
Yes,
I believe if someone's open to God, God will get someone to them.
Yep.
But there is a bit of truth to that. You know what? We are so gospel rich in this country sometimes that people take it for granted.
Yep.
But we need to think there are some people. They have been born in a society where a false god has been pushed on them. Some false belief system. Some false person to follow. And a lot of this stuff now is being pushed by governments and communist governments and socialism, which, by the way, is a really bad idea.
Amen.
How in the world is that getting a foothold in our country? Socialism ends up in communism, which ends up in atheism.
Yep.
It's all right there. And they don't want them to even believe that there is a God. But the world needs Jesus. They don't know the source of salvation. Someone needs to let them know. He's also the one who gives us the strength to do the things we need to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Yep.
If you're strong in Christ today, it's because of Jesus. If you're strong, it's because you've been saved and you've connected yourself to Him. But there are people in this world who don't have that strength. It's not just their eternal destiny, although that is by far and away the most important, but just on a daily practical life, they don't know Jesus Christ. They have no strength to get. They're just getting through the day. They're just surviving. We've heard the stories. Our missionaries told us they work 12, 13, 14 hours a day for what? For a wage that we would earn in a half an hour. They're just getting by. Wouldn't it be nice if they met Jesus Christ, who gave them a greater purpose to live?
Yes,
our security comes from Him. No matter what happens in this world, we know we're eternally secure. John chapter 10, verse 26, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, I'm not a big Greek guy, but I do know here that the word, when they're talking about never, it's like it's not even a possibility.
Yep.
It's not going to happen. It just can't happen. Once we're in Jesus Christ, we're totally secure. We have a security. We understand about Islam and radical Islam and the dangers of all that, but they serve a God, they're not even sure His feelings towards them.
Right.
Imagine serving a God like that. But here's a God that gives us security. He gives us an eternal security, and He gives us a security that there is more to this life than just getting up and getting through the day. Listen, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is wonderful. Jesus Christ is everything. Because if we don't really believe that, we're not going to want to take Him to this lost and dying world. We must be convinced of who Jesus is, and we must be convinced of that everybody needs Him, because once we know Him, now we must show Him.
Right.
By the way, that's a natural step in life. There is no way, and I say this kindly, there is no way we can be close to God. There is no way we can be close to Christ and love Him and He be everything in our life and we don't want to show Him to this world. There's just no way. I'm sorry, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The more we know Him, the more we will want to show Him to this lost and dying world. Why would we not want to let others know about Him? You know, you meet someone sometime, it's like, hey man, I'm looking for a good place to eat. And so, oh, there's this new restaurant, or there's this place, you ought to go eat there. This place is great. We like to share good news, don't we? If someone was over here saying, anybody that comes down here, I'll give you $1,000, anybody, we'd probably bring our friends. No, I'd bring my family first, okay, and I take a cut. But we would like show, we want to show good things. Hey, have you seen this? This is wonderful.
Yep.
But what about the Lord Jesus Christ? Why are we so silent all of a sudden? Why is it that when we're at work, the people there don't even know that we know Him? Or we would never even just take a church track or a gospel track and invite somebody to church. By the way, that's kind of what Friend Day is all about. We're trying to get us in the habit of doing for once a year what we should be doing all the time.
Amen.
There are people, and yes, our country is gospel rich, but I'll just be honest with you. Because of the darkness of sin, people even in our country need Jesus more than they've ever needed Him today. There's too many places where they're going, and they think they're being spiritually fed, and it's just nothing but a bunch of watered-down hooey. Why don't we take Him? We need to show Him. But how do we show Jesus Christ? Well, we're supposed to use our life. What does your life say about Jesus Christ? Last Sunday night, as we've been in the book of Psalms, we said that your life is a song. If your life is a song, what would it be about? Would it be about Jesus Christ? Or would it be about your favorite sports team? Would it be about God and His wonderful grace, or would it be about some hobby, fishing? I got a neighbor and he loves to fish. And he doesn't listen to this, so he offers us fish and stuff. And like, and he's good. He goes out, he catches, and he catches. And it's like, you know, I haven't told him yet. I don't like fish. I kind of think fish is what the Antichrist is going to eat. Okay. Now, if he was fishing for hamburgers, like, bring it on. Okay. Why can't we catch stuff like that? We have to catch stuff that stinks and tastes awful. McDonald's isn't food, so back away. But you know, we what's our life about? If people were to judge what's important by our life by the way we live, would God even be a part of it? People are watching us each and every day. No, they don't expect us to be perfect. And some people are just, they're going to get on you no matter what you do. And some of you, I know, your workplace, and you let them know you're a Christian, and they're always nitpicking whatever, or trying to get under your skin. Don't let them. Just be the best Christian you can be. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and I know people like that, that doesn't mean they were stupid. It just meant they weren't like, you know, trained under what they would consider qualified. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They said, these guys weren't trained. They weren't trained in a seminary. They're not these professional religious guys. They're not, you know, they're not some big wig. They're not like that. But you know what? There's something different about them. They've been with Jesus. Would anybody say that about you or I? Would anybody look at it? Okay, they might say the part about being ignorant, but the other part, would they say anything like, I don't know much about you, but I know this, there's something different about you. You must be one of those Christians. What does your life say about Jesus Christ? See, your life says one of two things about Jesus. It either says good things about him, or it says bad things about him. You look, the best advertisement for Christianity is Christians. The worst advertisement for Christianity is Christians. But it's your choice. And I know how it is. Remember one place, I got a job over when we first moved back to California. I got a job at Toshiba. And my first day there, they came and told me. I told them, I'm a Christian. I just let them know right up front. Yeah, I'm a Christian, blah, blah, blah. It's like, we don't like that guy right there. And they pointed to him, said, he says he's a Christian too, and he's got a bad, lazy, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm not a priest, okay? Don't come confess everybody's sins to me. But they told me right away, I got a job over here. My friend John got a job. I got a job over here later on. And you're one of those, they call this hallelujahs, okay? You're one of those hallelujahs. So's that guy, and he's lazy. So I can't talk to that guy, but I can tell you what, they weren't going to look at me and say, you're lazy. They weren't going to look at me and say, you know, you're just a bad testimony. I was just going to do the best I could. I wanted them to have somebody they could look at and say, that guy's not perfect, but at least he's trying to be something. Here's a verse that ought to bother us. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 26. A righteous man falling down before the wicked, that's talking about a lifestyle, is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. In other words, water that should be fresh and good, you're like corrupt water. What does corrupt water say? The source is bad. If we're Christians and we are openly living like we're not Christians, it makes us look bad. But unfortunately, it reflects bad on Jesus Christ.
Right.
How many of you have ever heard people say, but there's too many hypocrites? I'm like, well, there's hypocrites everywhere you go. Yeah. Okay, you're going to quit your job because there's hypocrites at work there? You're going to quit going to the grocery store because there's hypocrites? No. They're looking for excuses. Hey, I'm just saying, let it not be you. But our life. Our life can cause people trouble. Remember Lot? Here was Lot, God's person, living in the most corrupt city. It was so corrupt and so morally vile, God blew it up. By the way, if America keeps going the way we are, he either owes them an apology or it's our turn. Okay? But anyhow, that's a message for another day. But here comes the angels, and they tell Lot, you're going to get out of there. I'm going to blow this place up. You're one of my people. And Lot had such a bad testimony when he went and talked to his son-in-laws. They thought he was mocking because he was trying to act spiritual. Lord's going to tell. They're like, what are you talking about the Lord for? That's not who you are. And by the way, he lost family members. He lost his wife. There could be a joke there, but I won't say anything. He lost her. And to be honest with you, if you read 2 Peter, he lived a tortured life because it bothered him that he saw all that wickedness and he didn't stand up for what was right and he hid who he was. People need to know. We need to be a witness. Look, you ever see what they'll do in these trials? You have someone on trial and you'll have a witness that's witnessing for or against somebody. What does the other lawyer immediately try to do? He tries to discredit their testimony. They dig in their life. So you said this, is it true that you're cheating on you? They'll just throw stuff up. Because they're trying to make you look so bad that anything you have to say is tainted or discounted. Do you know that's what the world's doing? By the way, that's why they'll nitpick at us. Don't let it get to you. They're trying to find anything in your life to discount your witness of Jesus Christ so they don't have to listen. Hey, let's not give that to them. Our life shows people that Jesus is what they need. But it has to go past our life. It has to get to our lips. We have to tell them. You know what I'll do? I'm just going to live such an exemplary, an excellent life that people are going to see me and come down and say, what must I do to be saved? It doesn't work that way. Okay, now maybe if you're like, you know, Paul and Silas and an angel bust you out of prison, someone will ask you that. But the two go together. You know, these lifestyle evangelists, I'll just live the light of the gospel, man, and everybody will get saved. No, they won't. You got to tell them. Okay, how shall they hear without a preacher? See, the verses in Romans that tell us how to trust Christ as Savior, right after it's done, it says, but no one's ever going to do that if someone doesn't tell them. Right. By the way, that's what our Tuesday nights is all about. Learning how to just simply not be weird. By the way, some of you don't need to learn how to be weird. You've got that nailed down. Okay. But, you know, just how to talk to someone about the Lord so that they know if you meet somebody and they have a little interest, you can tell them exactly what it means to be a Christian. And by the way, that's our responsibility. If we can't tell them what it means to be a Christian, who will? Shouldn't it be those of us who know what it means to be a Christian? Amen. We've got to tell them with our lips. We've got to say things. We've got to witness. Introduce them to somebody that we know. But lastly, we also need to show them by our love. How we act is important, but how we act towards each other is even more important. This world is looking for love. By the way, over the years, I have went out with a lot of people that share the gospel. And I'll just be honest with you. I've been out with some people, I almost think they were happy that other people were going to hell. They were just mean-spirited and like, listen, that doesn't work. You know, it doesn't say for God so hated the world. For God so loved. And by, I mentioned this yesterday at Bernie's memorial. I like that word there, so loved. Not just loved. I mean, he so loved. That's like next level. And for Jesus Christ, that's like top level. But people want to know. You know why we should care about this world? Because we ought to love them. And I'm like you. I get irritated with what's going on. So I don't listen to the news anymore. I don't want to get mad. But why should we get mad when somebody who doesn't know Jesus acts like they don't know Jesus? When I didn't know Jesus, I did a lot of things. But you know why I didn't know him? And I didn't need someone to come and get, I needed someone to share the love of God with me. And by the way, I can think back, there were several. People, I remember before I got saved, many had witnessed to me. I remember one time I was waiting on a bus stop. A guy I didn't even know, about my age, came over there. Hey, and I was sitting at the bus stop, and he just started talking to me. And he was pretty straightforward, very kind. Didn't even know him. I didn't get saved at that time, but you know what? He planted a seed. And he was just different. But we need to show, this world needs Jesus Christ. Where does it start? Well, you know where it starts? It starts with you where you're at. And then it goes from there. But we must be convinced that that the world needs him. We must be convinced that he can help them. And then we need to be committed to be the ones to show them. That's what it's about. Yes, there are a lot of benefits to knowing Jesus Christ personally. Thank God. I'm glad that I've been able to live with Christ since I was 18, so that's probably been about 15 years now. Either you're not laughing or you're bad at math. Okay, good. Or you totally think I look that age, so... You know, I was in my office on my birthday, and three of the teenagers were there. I said, how old do you think I am? And they're all lying. Oh, you're 20. The other said, oh, you're this. And the other said, oh, you're this. I'm like, hey, you add those three together, you're right. Okay? You're not right. But I'm glad that I've not always been perfect, and I've got my, but you know what? Thank God I've been able to have him in my life. And you know what? It's been so good. I want someone else to have him. The world needs Jesus Christ, but they're only going to get him if we're willing to take him. Are you willing to be a witness of his love? Let's stand this morning just for a minute.